And now, live, it's time.
Which team, by colors alone, is identifiable around the world?
It's time for the JT the Brick Show.
Which team, by slogan, commitment to excellence?
On Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Just win, baby. All those things are the Raiders.
Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Thanks for coming back. JT with you. Hour number two of the show brought to you by Wahoo's Fish Taco. There are five locations here in the Valley. The new one on Eastern. What a night last night. They had ladies' night, party gras, huge turnout. Bunch of my buddies went and loved it. Not only great food, you'll love the food, you'll love the drink specials, the gaming, all of that, but also just a great staff, great people. Come on out to Oahu's Fish Taco and experience their California cuisine. They are a proud partner of our show. KJ Wright is going to join us, hopefully here in a little bit. Also, Vic Tafer and Bill Williamson, two of the most respected Raider insiders, working today as we get you ready for the Dolphin game. And it's a big weekend for me. I'll be emceeing an event for Tom Flores coming up over the weekend. And Tom Flores, the Hall of Fame coach, he will be the marquee star at the game, other than the Raiders on the field winning this game, hopefully against the Dolphins, because Coach Flores is going to be highlighted at halftime with his Hall of Fame ring and bust in front of his wife, his kids, his entire family. And when the Raiders break out Tom Flores for halftime, nine gold jackets will be on the field. Nine Hall of Famers are coming in for this game. And a guy who I think has a shot to be a Hall of Famer one day. He had a brilliant career in Seattle, and now he's with the Raiders, linebacker KJ Wright. KJ, pleasure to talk to you. Welcome to the Raider Nation.
What's up, JT, man? Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you. First off, tell us about the transition. Family, I read about your mom. She loves football. She's involved. What's the move been like from Seattle to Vegas so far?
Man, it's been a lot. I can't lie. Just leaving my family, first of all, I have a wife and three kids. And that was definitely tough for me to just say, Daddy got to go. And, you know, I got to see you guys on the weekends. And so, thank God for FaceTime. Thank God that it's a quick flight from Seattle. They can come visit me. And just coming up here, the guys welcomed me in with open arms. From, you know, Derek Carr, Abrams, Quinn Jefferson kept calling me all offseason to come sign to Vegas. And so it's been a fun transition. I love my coaches and D coordinators. So it's been really good so far in these first 3 weeks.
KJ, let's stay with the family. Your young dad and your wife, your family, that's tough. But you've been around this league a long time. You saw that when you were in Seattle, guys would come on short-term deals, have to leave their family and see them again. How does that motivate you? Because you're getting paid to be a football player, but you're a dad and a husband, and that's a priority.
Yeah. And first things first is my family. And just I just want to make sure they're good. And I want to be as present. You know, it's hard being a parent on the phone. And so just want to support my wife as much as I possibly can. You know, I call the kids all day whenever I can. And so I told my wife, whenever y'all can come out here, hop on that flight and just come see me, because they who give me energy, they who give me life, and they who I do it for. And so I want them around as much as possible.
Take me through the history of you and Gus, and we talk about the birth of the Legion of Boom, but there's Pete Carroll. I know Ken Norton Jr. When you look at everybody involved in the program all of these years and the similarities you're seeing now with Gus with the Raiders.
Yeah, I believe that Gus was a major part of laying down, personally, my foundation as a professional football player and laying down the foundation for Seattle. And we was going to back-to-back Super Bowls. He was someone that taught me a lot about the game, someone that implemented the cover three defense that I learned and the principles of that. And just seeing Gus over his career, seeing how successful he was, you know, wherever he's went with the Chargers, he did, you know, with the Jaguars, he was really good. And just keeping in contact with him over the years is, I believe, what led me to come back here and reunite with him. And so, you know, I love Gus and what he stands for as a person, as a football coach. And to see this early success in his first year with the Raiders is pretty cool.
KJ Wright is our guest, and I think it's really important, your leadership. When you were a young player in the league, who'd you look up to? Who mentored you? Who taught you the ropes when you came into the league with Seattle?
Yeah, well, my two guys was Brandon Meebane, mm-hmm. who played with he was with Gus and the Chargers last year with Seattle, and Red Bryant. The D line took me under their wings. Just taught me how to take care of my body, about finances and those two guys that I dedicate a lot of my success to in my career, because, you know, young guys coming to the league, you don't know absolutely nothing. And so for those guys to put me on game as a young rookie, I can't thank them enough.
Well, with the Raiders being a young team on defense, are there any similarities to the young defense up in Seattle when you started building the Legion of Boom and then appeared in two Super Bowls winning one? What's the real similarity you might see early?
I would say first thing that I noticed with this defense is the confidence that we have. When we step on the field, you could look and you can feel the energy and the confidence with guys. Like, we are a bad ASS defense, and it's going to be really hard for you guys to come on and drive the ball down the field against us. And so that's what I really love about this defense. And then I can't put enough emphasis on our D-line and how well they play up front. Just when you got pressure up the middle and off the edge, it is really, really hard to put points up against us. And so those are the top two things that really stand out to me, is the confidence. It's how well our D-line is playing.
KJ Wright, as we continue, you know, it's interesting there's so many injuries in this league, and the team now is suffering through a lot of injuries. If Nicholas Morrow doesn't get hurt, you get Brandon Perryman and you get KJ Wright. And I'm saying to myself, you don't want anybody to ever get injured, but you're a professional. Isn't it incredible what happens? One guy goes down, then two guys come in on reserve, and you're one of the best linebackers in the sport the last decade. So the way this has happened, what's the chemistry like with Nicholas Morrow, who has really grown into a leadership position of this team and will be back soon?
Yeah, with Nick, I texted Nick when I first got here. I said, hey, man, I know it's extremely frustrating with the position you're in, because I've been there. I've been injured and other linebackers coming in. But I told Nick, I said, when you're healthy, you're definitely one of the best in NFL. And so who knows how things plays out. I told him when he comes here, he's one of the best. And for him to, you know, tell me how the Raiders do things, I can't thank him enough for just showing me the ropes when I first got here. And when he gets here, we'll see how things shake out.
What's it like with Coach Gruden? You know him. Remember Monday Night Football? He comes in covering games, the history of Coach Gruden and all the great teams that he's had. What's that relationship like with you and Coach Gruden, who needs a leader like you to step up and keep this team undefeated?
Yeah, it was me and Coach Gruden for the first time. He made it crystal clear why he was bringing me in here. And I said, I can accomplish that mission for you. And so to have veterans on the football team, guys that's won, consistently been in the playoffs, that's something you want in your building. You want guys to see what the preparation looks like, what it looks like on game day. And so that spreads across the team. And so I'm doing, you know, a pretty good job thus far. And, you know, we just getting started. I got to keep it going.
You have a Super Bowl ring already. You played in two. What do you want your legacy to be?
What I want my legacy to be? I want my legacy to be someone that every time he stepped on the field, he played with 100% effort. I want my legacy to be someone that cares and loves his teammates, and his teammates love playing with him. And just somebody that was just a really, really good football player. When you type in KJ Wright on YouTube, you see a really good highlight reel. And so I've done a good job thus far, and I'm steadily adding plays to that resume.
All right, last one. If I went to KJ Wright maybe 15 years ago, Mississippi State, or before that in high school, and I said, hey, KJ, 15 years from now, you're going to be in Vegas playing NFL football with the Las Vegas Raiders. What would you have said?
I said, that's not even a team in Vegas. What are you talking about? It's the Oakland Raiders. What are you talking about? You crazy. Get out of here.
Absolutely. Hey, welcome to the Raider Nation. The fans really appreciate what you're doing. We know leaving the family back, seeing them at selective times, what you mean to this team, the great career you've already had, and you got a lot left in the tank. Thanks for doing this. We hope to do it a lot more with you. If you have anything we can help you with your foundation, charity work down the road, please reach out to us.
I will. Thank you.
All right. You got it. There he is, KJ Wright, brought to you by Wahoo's Fish Taco. How about that? My buddy Todd, who is vice president over there, big creator of huge ideas here in Vegas, knows KJ Wright and what he brings to the Raiders. I love that. That is a character guy. First time I've ever interviewed him. Been waiting to interview him about his life. Look, imagine that. Imagine having three young kids and they're home with mom going to school and you're playing football. You think that'd motivate you to win games? Absolutely. This guy is one motivated football player. And he wasn't good. He was great. I study the Hall of Fame, and I think I'm pretty good at figuring out what's a borderline Hall of Famer or not. You know, Eric Allen, who I work with, is a six-time Pro Bowler, semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. A lot of guys I talk to say EA is a Hall of Famer. He played at the highest level, shut down some big guys. KJ Wright could get to the Hall of Fame if he finds one more chapter. 2 years, 3 years with the Raiders, maybe two, a deep playoff run, leading the team in tackles, whatever it's going to be. He's not done yet. And I remember I compared him to Harry Carson. Harry Carson's a Hall of Famer, and he played next to Lawrence Taylor. Bobby Wagner's going to the Hall of Fame. Bobby Wagner's been the best linebacker in football since Ray Lewis. No debate on that. And K.J. Wright plays next to Bobby Wagner before he came here. There have been some good players who played next to Ray Lewis. He's important because he knows the system and he can cover. He could tackle. It's an adjustment. But K.J.'s got to keep playing at a very high level. They need him because with the guys that are hurt, and how does Littleton not play better after that guy comes in? How does Littleton not find the football a little bit more? All right, so that's K.J. Wright. Let's get out to some phone calls. Let's get some people ready to go so I don't have to give out the number. We can go from K.J. Wright to Vic Tafer to Bill Williamson. Give me your key to the game, 702-365-9200 on the one thing the Raiders need to do. Seems like we're spending all week talking about, oh, it's a trap game. Oh, my God, it's a trap game. Don't live in fear. Not a trap game. If they win the game, they win. If they lose, they lose. It's not going to be because Gruden walked into quicksand in a trap. John Gruden knows what he's doing here. But it was very interesting what we just heard from the Big O. Don't throw it to Xavien Howard. Don't. And I'll remember that. I'll remember that at this game. When I see Brett Musburger, I'm going to give him that nugget. Don't throw it to Xavien Howard. I don't think Carr's afraid of throwing it to anyone. And what is Howard going to do? I'd throw to the opposite side. And Waller, right down the middle. Waller down the middle. How are the Raiders going to run the football? We'll ask that with Vic Tafer coming up here in a little bit. You know, 9 years ago today, Facebook's great. I'm a Facebook guy. I like it because of the stock. And yes. And the thing about today came up on my memories. Facebook memories are great. And today came up that 9 years ago today, I interviewed Marcus Allen as he came back to light the torch. A lot happened in Raider Nation because Marcus Allen came back and lit the torch. A lot transpired. A lot happened after that. A lot was said. A lot happened. And it happened because Mark Davis wanted to start fresh. Al, Mr. Davis, and Marcus Allen obviously had their fallout. Mark Davis, if you saw the HBO Real Sports, Mark Davis is his own man. Mark Davis said, I'm starting it. This is my way of starting. I'm going to start relationships or I'm going to get relationships going again. Not everybody agreed with it. And Marcus Allen came in and lit the torch. And an interesting part of that story, the Raiders came to me, and I've interviewed Jim Brown when he came back to see Mr. Davis. That's number one on my list. Biggest thing I've ever done with the Raiders, ever, nothing's even close, is reconnecting Jim Brown and Mr. Davis at the Coliseum for a private conversation. And then we interviewed Jim and had like 15 minutes with Jim Brown. That'll never be topped. Second on that list is Marcus Allen. And when Marcus was done, before he lit the torch, he came in into a suite. We had it all lit, cameras, and we talked to Marcus about that. It was big. Marcus's first time back as a civilian, not a player, at the Coliseum, and that was a big moment in Raider history. Marvin in Vegas on the flagship. What's happening, Marvin?
How you doing? Thanks for accepting my call today.
Thank you.
One thing that I think the Raiders need to do is get away from that bunch situation, that bunch offense that they go to.
Two and tight ends and a fullback and Alec Ingold?
Yeah. It seems to work sometimes, but it don't work enough to where we need to keep running it. I understand it mix some things up and stuff like that and have the defense thinking a little more. But what I think they really need to do is start – they need to let Derek Carr do like a Rich Gannon situation, you know, like he's seven and outs and he's tens and out and stuff like that. And then that's when you open it up on him. And don't be afraid of that defender from Miami. He's just another football player.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not another football player. He's their best football player. They don't have to be afraid. But you got to be concerned about Khalil Mack in a couple of weeks. You got to be concerned about Derwin James of the Chargers. And you got to be concerned about Xavien Howard of Miami. He's the best corner they're going to play all year.
I know, but we got some good receivers.
Yeah, I know.
So he don't know the routes we're running. So if he don't know the routes we're running and we run our routes the way we're supposed to and that ball is there, guess what? He can be toast just like everybody else. And Derek Carr is the man. He can get that ball there.
Not doubting any of that. Thanks for the call. I'm just saying there's a good football player on the other side there. Very good football player on the other side. Hey, I told you about our new relationship that we have with Woodson Whiskey. Charles Woodson has his wine, Intercept Wine. Now he has Woodson Whiskey. Order it. When you're out, ask for it. Go ask, hey, is Charles Woodson's Whiskey here? And if a bartender says, I don't know what you're talking about, take down the name of that venue and get it to Charles. Get it to Charles on Instagram or Twitter. You should be drinking Woodson Whiskey. Charles Woodson, a proud partner of the show, Woodson Whiskey. We are thrilled to have the Hall of Famer inside Raider Nation Radio, which is a lot of fun. Coming up, Bill Williamson and Vic Taffer. Man, we got two really good insiders who know the team at a very high level. We'll go through the game plan and what the Raiders need to do to go 3-0. How does that sound on the flagship Raider Nation Radio?
Man, Gus, the way he prepares, there's not anything that we would miss that this offense is going to do. And we know what they're going to do before it happens. He puts it on the board. He makes it loud and clear. Hey, let's focus on this. This is how this team want to attack us. And so it's crystal clear what he does. And he gives us a lot of information, and it's up to us to process it. But come Sunday, we prepare all throughout the week, and we're always ready to roll.
It's KJ Wright who just joined us. Thrilled that we could talk to him. Fred Biletnikoff joined us earlier in the show. Vic Taffer is coming up. And now we have the great Bill Williamson from SB Nation. The cover story, the upcoming 2021 schedule is in the Raiders' favor. Everything is coming up Las Vegas' way right now. And Bill, that says a lot coming from you. We've been doing this together a long time. At times, nothing comes up this positive for the Raiders. How are they handling the success early?
Well, I mean, we will see. I mean, they're enjoying it, and we'll see how they handle it. I mean, I guess if you look at the last 2 years, say, okay, well, they didn't handle it well down the road. The narrative last year was this year's different. So that'll probably be the narrative this year. Let's see. I'm always let's see, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't, like, that's what sucks about the offseason is that it's all speculation. And even to a certain extent, the preseason, the regular season, that's when you go to the dinner table and that's where you figure it out. And right now, it's nothing but great. Everything's good. Yeah, there's injuries, but let's face it, everybody has injuries. I mean, if you want to get right down to it, the Raiders are probably the healthier of the two teams in the last two games. So you just deal with injuries. Everybody has them. But what's going on the football field is working, and that's what you want. I mean, it comes down to 17 Sundays. And after two of them, things are pretty dang good.
You know, Bill, it's interesting. You just said something really sharp about the teams they played with their injuries because – I'm glasses half empty on this Raider injury front. I feel like everybody's hurt. I mean, this team, this offensive line is close to decimated because even the backups are getting hurt or backups are playing now in big roles. And then I look at Josh Jacobs trying to get him back, and I'm just wondering how this is going to catch up to him with running the football. They're first overall in offense, first in passing, but clearly struggling because Josh Jacobs isn't there to run the football. How do you expect him to run it against Miami coming up here?
Well, you know, the answer to the first part of the question, I think that's a real plus what's going on in Las Vegas is, yeah, the line is injured. Yeah, their stud running back is injured. And the offense is playing at a high level. Was it 59 points?
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to Derek Carr. That gives him more ammo to his early MVP nominate candidacy. But yeah, I think John Gruden's offense works best when there's balance between run and pass. I think, but so far it's worked, so you can't be too scared about it. But it depending on the opponent, this opponent comes in here and they're pinning their ears back and they're not worried about the run. Well, then there may be some situations that the Raiders are going to have to rise up to the challenge. But so far, so good. Again, it's all nitpicky stuff, but I'm not into nitpicking at 0-2. I mean, enjoy it. Excuse me, at 2-0, and enjoy it. And then when the situation comes up and there is a major challenge, let's dissect it then.
Bill Williamson is our guest, SB Nation. Let's jump into what you're seeing with the evolution of this offense, even with the offensive line banged up, how Carr's holding on to the ball and letting these route trees open up more downfield, especially to Edwards and Ruggs.
Yeah, and I want to see more of that with those two. You know, I think they're complementary guys. Look, you have an elite tight end. That's what they have. He's right up there with Kittle and Kelsey, and it's pick your ice cream flavor. If you say that you'd rather have Waller than the other two, I can't argue with that. And then what you're seeing, I think, speaking of, you know, the elevation of a player, I screw that up, it's Hunter Renfrow. Mm-hmm. This guy's on pace for almost 100 catches this year. This guy's making one big play after another. This guy's really been unstoppable in two games. And I think in his third year, we're seeing a guy who's becoming, who has a chance to become a top-level slot player. So if you have an elite tight end, a top-level slot player, a top 5 to 8 running back, life is going to get easier for all your other weapons. And I think that's what we see with the Raiders as the games progress, is that they just kind of wear down the defense because they get a little dizzy. They don't know where it's going to go to. And I think we saw that late in the Baltimore game where Ruggs, Edwards, and Zay Jones all made huge plays in late in regulation or in overtime because I think they just wore down the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see that because there is a lot of weapons on this offense and it can withstand a banged up offensive line and a play with a second running back.
Bill Williamson. Bill, I'm a big believer in Carlson and the importance of scoring a lot of points with your kicker. I don't think they did that often enough with Janikowski. There were games I was on the sideline for Janikowski's career, and I walk off after the game going, how did he only make 2 field goals? He's Janikowski. He can kick from 50 yards, 55 yards, just get him past midfield and take more shots. And I think Gruden understands that Carlson could be a huge asset here. I'm looking for 9 points a game. I'm looking for 3 made field goals. You add that to 21 points or 24 points by Carr, this really adds up to a nice number. Talk about special teams and what you've seen so far.
Yeah, another weapon there. Another weapon. Another reliable guy. I think what you'd rather see, and this goes back to the nitpicking, is maybe 2 from him, but maybe 1 or 2 more touchdowns. You know, red zone is still an issue with the Raiders. They're at 44%, and they want to see that higher. Carlson has attempted 6 field goals, which is, I think, the 7th most in the NFL. And a lot of that's because the you know, I don't know if it's quite woes in the red zone, but it's not as sharp as it can be. So, but yeah, Carlson, I think you feel good. Look at the end of the regulation of the Baltimore game. They were cool with the 54-yard field goal at the end of the game. They were cool with that. And what do? Icy Veins nailed it. Wasn't even an issue. So again, that's another weapon. You got a pass rusher in Crosby. You have gritty secondary guys. You have a top defensive coordinator. You have everything we just talked about on offense. You got a punter who's been nailed. That all adds up to double-digit victories. So the formula is there, and that's why I'm impressed. That's why I don't think this is a mirage.
I agree. It's not a mirage. Hey, Bill, finally, you wrote a great piece inside that column about the Chargers or the Chiefs, and one of those teams could be in trouble. I threw this out earlier in the show for the Raider fans. Who would you rather see lose this game? And for me, it's the Chargers because I know Kansas City's not going away. I know Kansas City's going to win 13 games, 12 minimum. I don't know about the Chargers. And to start the Chargers 1-2, you've been in the AFC West a long time. The media love affair with this team and Justin Herbert is over the top. It's like people are begging for them to be better. The Raiders were better than them last year and should have beat them and had another game on them when they had first and goal at the 4 with Mariota. What happens if the Chargers don't show up in Kansas City and don't play well in this game? They got the Raiders on deck on Monday night.
It's a hell of a question. I'm really looking forward to that game. I would, you know, when you first asked that question, I tend to say the Chiefs because you want them to stack losses. 1-2 is a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And now your argument may be 1-2 for a team as accomplished and star-studded, Chief may be easier to navigate and negotiate. I'm not disagreeing there. And you're right about the Chargers. There's some voodoo stuff going on with the Chargers over the years. Injuries after injuries, that bad coaching decision after bad coaching decision, and it doesn't matter what the roster is, it continues. So maybe with this new coach, maybe with this kid quarterback, maybe that's changing. But what do we see them do against the Cowboys? Screw up a game at the end. And that's what they do. So they got to prove otherwise. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if it's getting blown out in Kansas City or losing a heartbreaker. I don't know what either one might be more discouraging for this team. But I think the bottom line is I think the Chargers are good. I know the Chiefs are good. And if I expect the Raiders blowout victory. I'm saying 38-10 Sunday. So I'm expecting the Raiders to be 3-1. So I'm expecting the Raiders to have a two-game lead over a pretty dang good team after 3 weeks. That's ideal.
Bill,
what happened last week with the Chiefs and the Chargers is almost as important to the Raiders as what happened in Pittsburgh.
I love this, Bill Williamson. You know, this is a, you're a real positive guy, but I love this. Your glass is half full. Bill, your glass is runneth over here with the Raiders and the potential for an unbelievable start and maintain in this.
I only play off what I see. The facts are the facts.
There you go. I don't want you to be considered a homer like me. You're a journalist, and you got some great information here. Bill, you're the best. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Hey, if they lose Sunday, don't call me, all right?
All right. We'll give you an extra week off. Thanks, Bill. Bill Williamson coming in there. Yeah, every once in a while, a troll will say, JT's a homer. Oh, really? I heard some guy calling Q. Should get into Q. I was driving home from the facility yesterday, and some guy called Q and said, oh, man, Q, love your show, which I love. Man, you're not a homer like JT and Vinny. I'm like, oh, I'm a homer. I've been doing this for 23 years. Look at my win-loss record and tell me how that's worked out. I got a 2-0 record here. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. And again, I work for the team. I want the team to win. Okay? I don't want the team to lose. I try to find the optimism with the team. And when the team or guest comes on and there's something significant, I ask them everything significant, which is negative if they're not playing well. But some people hear different things. I don't know. Some people, they want to come in my memorabilia room in my home and take down all my Raiders stuff. Can't do that. It's attached to the wall. You need a guy to come in and take that down. Mitch in Jersey. What's going on, Mitch? How are you?
Hey, JT. How you doing, brother? I'm sure it's nice and sunny and hot over here. It's cats and dogs raining.
I moved out of there, Mitch, because I moved out of there because I couldn't take the rain. Most common asked question of me my whole life. JT, why did you move from New York? It was the rain. It wasn't the cold. It was the rain. I don't need it raining in September, my friend, in Jersey. We don't need that.
Well, I'm from Staten Island, but it's the same thing. It's kind of like the Seattle East. Hey, we can just run the two. I like Forster, the two tight ends, and I like our wide receivers until we get Jacobs back. I wish we had Stein or Tavis Murray because Drake can't do it all alone. I missed the running game. I thought we had a great balanced attack. I think we're going to win on offense this Sunday. 3-0. Who could believe it, JT?
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I think 3-0 is a bit of a shock. I think a lot of fans in the Raider Nation. None called me. No one called me, said 3-0. I can go back and look at the tape. No one called me and said 3-0. Nobody. But now everybody's happy. Now people call me saying 4-0. Hold on. Got to get by the Dolphins. Vic Tafer is going to join us coming up next. Hey, you know how honored I am to be inside Resorts World, the biggest casino in the world? And we're the first ever radio show ever to be inside Resorts World, the Doghouse. Doghouse is their sports music venue where they have the sports book. It's called Doghouse. I am shocked if you haven't been to Resorts World yet. Stop everything you're doing and go see this gorgeous monstrosity and come find us at Doghouse.
Well, we're familiarizing ourselves with the Dolphins system. They have a new coordinator. Chan Gailey's no longer there. So Coach Godsey does things a little bit differently. First thing is familiarize yourself with their scheme and then their personnel. They've got great receivers and a very, very formidable tight end. And Brissett can extend plays. So we got a lot of respect for him. We've played against him in the past. He's a dual threat, capable of doing a lot of different things.
John Gruden, as we get ready for the Dolphins, JT, back with you as we continue on here, brought to you by Five Iron Golf inside Area 15. Vic Tafer, kind enough to join us from The Athletic. Vic, good to talk to you. I can't remember the last time I heard the term trap game around the Raiders, especially now that the Raiders are new to Vegas. What are you sensing with this team 2-0 as a wounded Dolphin comes to town?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. This Dolphins team beat them last year, and I think many picked them to be better this year. Now it's a trap game. But, I think it's if you and I ever discussed a game and said, hey, the defense should take care of business this weekend, like the Raiders' defense has become a strength. How crazy is that?
Vic, I'm looking at the injury report that came out. How concerned should Raider fans be with guys who just can't get out of the training room and get there, including Richie Incognito, Josh Jacobs? Some of the issues with injuries so far, they've been able to get by going 2-0, but do you sense that the injuries could be catching up to them?
Yeah, you hope not. I think both Incognito and Josh Jacobs, I think probably my guess, they won't play this weekend, but you know, based on what's happened the first two games, maybe you can survive another week without them and make sure they get healthy. I think the passing game has been good, the short passing game especially, Derek Carr taking chances deep. So I think you would think this weekend the offense and the defense should be good enough to have those guys taking another week off.
Vic Tafer joins us. What's your analysis early of Alex Leatherwood? There's been some mistake on film and the back injury, but he was back full Wednesday and earlier today. That's a good sign with the reps he's getting in. They're really going to count on him. This Dolphins defense is good.
Yeah, I think there's been some growing pains, and that's understandable. But I think you see already, like, he's strong in the run game. That'll be something I think he brings right away. And the passing game stuff will come. He's going against top. You know, these guys in the NFL are much different than the guys he faced in college. So there's a learning curve, but I think he still gets his raw skills and the smarts, and he should be fine long-term.
Vic, what are you seeing with Jonathan Abram in the system now with Gus Bradley and how the game's slowing down for him a bit, his aggressiveness and where he is in the scheme?
Yeah, I think Gus is a very calming influence. Kind of, you know, he's always very positive. Jonathan Abram is definitely kind of now a manifestation of that. He's playing a little more under control, taking better angles. I think just, you know, overall, plus the line, I think, creates a lot so much pressure, it makes it easier for guys behind him to play better. So he's been really good. I've been very impressed by him so far.
Vic Tafer joins us from The Athletic. I see Nick Kwiatkowski was limited, considering what he can do, and now the depth at the linebacker position, and Morrow isn't even back yet as the Raiders wait for him to come back. What do you see his role being going forward with Perriman and K.J. Wright, who we just had on last hour?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, to be determined. I think, I mean, obviously it's smaller than it has to be because I think Perriman's been great. That's a guy who came in and, you know, had his history with Gus and just has been able to come in and right away and make plays and looks very comfortable. It shows you how the NFL are guys you pick up who you may not think are a big deal, but you never know. And then when they go on the field, you see what they can do. And Denzel Perriman's been great for him so far.
Vic, what can you tell us about Clelin Ferrell? From the time he was drafted, and you covered that story, and talking to Mayock and Gruden and talking to Clelin, I know the access it's more limited than it was planning on being a couple of years ago, but are you seeing anything with his attitude, body language, at practice? What can Raider fans hope for with him?
Yeah, I think so. I think his attitude's fine. The body language is fine. I think he's a good locker room guy. I think even the coach mentioned that first week where he didn't play, he was still cheering guys on the sidelines. I just think it's a case now where, you know, you spent a lot of money and picks in the front line this year. You really beefed it up and they have a good rotation. And he's kind of fallen to the back of that rotation, which, you know, it's unfortunate because of where he was picked, but it's also, I guess, a good sign. It's going to be positive. Like, you know, they're good enough up front now where, you know, he can play a smaller role and maybe, I mean, he's a good player, but obviously he was a little overdrafted at the time, but I don't think it's a knock on his, you know, personality or nothing's going on as far as that goes.
Same to be said for Damon Arnette in the secondary. You like what you're seeing from him in limited action?
Yeah, I think there's more of a question about him in terms of his attitude, his maturity in the offseason. But I think he turned a corner. I think, you know, they brought in Casey Hayward, and it was clear from day one Hayward was going to start at cornerback along with Trayvon Mullen. So I think Arnette had to, like, you know, maybe a little shock, you know, a valuable lesson to be learned. And he's growing up. The coaches are happy with his his newfound focus. I think he made some plays here and there. And he's a guy who's so hopeful. I mean, he's a very young guy, and he can learn from Hayward and at some point maybe be a guy who makes plays, you know, on a regular basis again.
Wrapping up with Vic Taffer. You know, Vic, this I went back and watched the Miami-Buffalo game, and I couldn't believe it. They weren't running to the ball. Like, that's what Gus preaches. Everybody goes to the ball. And there are a couple of plays that I started and stopped again where the safeties and the corners, and they're good. Miami has good players. They didn't give up on the play. They just assumed that one of the Bills would be stopped, and they were late to the ball. I can't imagine Brian Flores letting that ever happen again. He must be ripping them all week. I expect them to come in here flying around because I don't think he could lose the team here, but getting shut out, if they get beat badly in Vegas, there's going to be problems for the Dolphins, who already beat Bill Belichick up at Foxborough.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's enough talent in that defense. He's a good enough coach where they will bounce back this week. That was an ugly loss last week, and it happens. Sometimes the games get away from you, but I think there's enough talent, especially the secondary, like you mentioned, is really a really good secondary. So I think it'll be a tough game. I think the Raiders should have enough offensively to prevail, but I don't think it'll be a laugher by any means.
Hey, Vic, last one. What are you most looking forward to with this game? From both sides of the ball, the fans, Tom Flores is coming in. There's a celebration. 9 gold jackets will be there. This is a special night in Vegas. It was tough to top Monday Night Football and Lamar Jackson, but this is pretty close. The Raiders are going all out.
Yeah, Tom's the best, so I'm definitely happy. Anytime he gets a moment where he can be celebrated is great. And I think that stuff, and the fans, obviously, the first game was kind of like a party atmosphere. I'm sure that will continue. So it's a very cool atmosphere. I think this is what I want to see is that matchup of the cornerbacks from Miami and the young receivers for the Raiders. That will be a real big matchup. I can see how the growth continues for these young guys on the Raiders.
I agree with that 100%. The Miami corners, that's the big takeaway in this game. Thanks a lot, Vic. Appreciate it. I'll see you at the game.
All right, bud. Take care.
You got it. Vic Taffer from The Athletic. I don't know how you don't follow him. I know you do, but if you don't, go follow him. Pay for The Athletic and the subscription. Very good with that. So the Raiders just posted the injury report, which is getting interesting here. I think it's a little bit more optimistic. Here's what we have. Carr with an ankle. He was full participant. Richie Incognito, not participating. Alec Ingle with a fibula, full participant. Josh Jacobs, running back, ankle, did not participate. Again, Quentin Jefferson, defensive tackle, knee, full participant. Nick Witkowski, linebacker, concussion, limited, back-to-back days. Dallin Leavitt, remember what happened with him, concussion, did not participate the last 2 days. Alex Leatherwood, tackle, back, full participant both days. Here's one for you, Carl Nassib. Pectoral and toe, limited, today limited. So he was out there. Darius Filon, defensive tackle, knee, limited, last 2 days. And Jonathan Abram, safety. Ooh, Achilles, full participant today. Never like to see the word Achilles ever on a report at all. But you know, there's a lot of guys banged up here. So if you look at the injury report, last week it looked really clean for Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh, they rested Ben Roethlisberger in the middle of the week. They were so confident. Tua is out with a rib injury. He will not play in this game. Devontae Parker, the wide receiver, he was a full participant with the shoulder injury. And they look okay coming in here. Again, they're a team that's got to be freaking out at that performance by the Buffalo Bills. They have got to be freaking out. Now, we're going to talk to John Gruden tomorrow in his spot on Friday, but Coach Gruden continues to talk about the Miami secondary. This is the biggest concern for he and his staff.
Well, a lot of challenges. I mean, they're really a good defense. They have great corners that can handle the one-on-one burden, the pressure of covering a guy with no help for a long time. Howard and Jones are two of the best in the league, and Coleman is a guy that's got a lot of experience in a slot, and Rowe is a former corner that can cover as well. So they have the people that can cover, and they have a coach that is very well-versed in how to get home and create problems with protections, so it's a real challenge for us.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, and every press conference, Coach Gruden is talking about the injured players. who have to sit out or they're limited at practice heading into this game?
Well, we'll have an official document signed by the proper people so you have the exact status of everybody. So everybody's pleased. But Leatherwood was full today. Carr was full today. Incognito did not practice, nor did Josh Jacobs. Teamer did not practice. And who else didn't practice? Dallin Leavitt did not practice, and we will get that document certified in your hands soon.
Oh, man, that is good. Oh, that is good. I get the complete different interview in the studio with makeup sitting there with him, and it's not like that. So when I hear that, man, he talked about how the team has to adapt. This team is trying to adapt to injuries, two really tough opponents already, and then another physical defense coming in.
I don't know what we said when we first got here. That was the goal, was to try to put together a team that could adapt on a weekly basis. You hear certain teams say we have specific game plans for specific teams. That's what we would like to do, too. You'd like to attack a base defense. You'd like to attack a nickel defense. And to do that, you have to have tight ends. You have to have a fullback. That's just our philosophy here. Not everybody agrees. But we've improved the roster, and therefore we've improved our capabilities to attack defenses different ways.
They improved the roster. Who didn't think they did? Did anybody listen to every radio show I did? I didn't say they were going to win every game. But you have to believe that they're improving the roster. They tore it down to rebuild it with the guys they wanted. And they're not walking around 2-0 feeling this glow and satisfaction here. They're working their ass off.
No. We had a 2-0 the year last year, you know. It's not where you line up, it's where you wind up, you know. It's past now. We got a long way to go. We still have 15 games. Somebody told me we're playing 17 regular season games. And we're about to play 18 or 19 next year, who knows. But not to be sarcastic, but no, we want to win this game this week and try to stay in the hunt.
And the last thing is about negativity and positivity. I take this radio show home with me, and I leave it in the car when I pull up to the house so my wife doesn't have to deal with this. She has to deal with me enough already. Why would she want to deal with negativity? Raiders are 2-0, and they're excited here. So Coach Gruden wants everything to be positive for obvious reasons.
No, I try not to worry about the negative things. You know, I'm more of a don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people paid a lot of money to get Twitter hits and YouTube videos and encourage you to feed your mind with negativity. And I don't really care about that stuff. I'm at a point now where I like to feed the birds. I like to go fishing. I like to have a good time. And I'm going to have a good time coaching. I like these players, and I don't give a damn about negativity. There's enough of it in politics, in our social world right now, and we're here to try to create a positive Las Vegas vibe and have some fun here, and that's what we're doing.
You better save that, Bobby. That's priceless. Maybe that's what I need to do. Get off of Twitter. Yeah, and I go feed the birds. There's a hummingbird in Summerlin that comes by my house. Maybe I need to sit out and just look at the hummingbird. We got a big show tomorrow. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. Mike North, the great prognosticator, is going to come in and pick games. Lee Sterling's going to pick games. We got a good show lined up tomorrow, as we always do. And then a big Tom Flores weekend, if you're in town. A big Tom Flores. Oh, and Jim Plunkett. Oh, Jim Plunkett. And my cousin Gino's coming to town, and my buddy Wiz. And they've been hearing about the bucket of Modellos in my backyard. I need a refill. Send that Modelo light out over the sky tonight. I need a refill of Modelos so I reward myself on Friday. Fun show today. And we're still thinking of Black Hole Rob Rivera. Wait till you hear what Coach Gruden said about him tomorrow, exclusively to me. That comes up at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Have a good night, everybody. All right? Take care.